The title of today's sermon is God Kept the Light On, with scripture taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, brought to us by Pastor Leon. And can I invite Brother Albert to come read the scriptures?
Good morning. I'm reading from Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. Verse 1, Arise! Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And this is the word of God. Thank you.
And now Pastor shall deliver the sermon.
Thanks once again, Colin, Brother Albert as well. Let us go to God in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the word today. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you are a God, the Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting shadow at all, Lord Jesus. And it's because of your unchanging faithfulness to us, we give you thanks. For you have been faithful to us throughout this whole year, throughout our story, our journey as praise, and you've brought us here until today. At the threshold of a new year, Lord Jesus, we look to you, the Father of all lights, Lord, that you would illuminate our hearts, that you would shine a light here in our midst, Lord. The same God who made the light shine into the world, Lord, may you make the light shine of the glory, of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our hearts, Lord, that we may shine forth as lights in this world for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm very glad to speak with you all today. As we start a new year today, I'm going to take you through this word from Isaiah 60, as well as share some of the directions and the plans that we have for the church for this year, as been asked by the council. Today, I'm not sure whether you all know this, but today, this Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, in many churches around the world, like it's celebrated as what they call Epiphany Sunday. So Epiphany comes from the Greek word that means revelation or appearance. And so this is a time during what we call the Christian calendar where churches around the world, it will commemorate certain dates that are revolving around the events of salvation history, the acts of God throughout history at various points in the calendar as well. So today is Epiphany Sunday, the revelation, the appearance. It was marked as 12 days after Christmas. So traditionally on January the 6th, but nowadays they commemorate it on the Sunday, the first Sunday that's closest to January the 6th, as Epiphany Sunday. It's a day where they commemorate the wise men's visit to Jesus at his birth, bringing the gifts, where they were led by the star, led by this great light to come and worship the light of the world. And this is why, you know, on Epiphany Sunday, you know, one of the scriptures we like to read is Isaiah 60, Arise, Shine. Your light has come. Reason why I'm bringing this up is so that one of the things that we intend to do this year is to just kind of follow a little bit along with the Christian calendar as well as we go through this year. We'll still be doing things like our usual sermon series, you know, taking you through the books that will bring us and give us a biblical foundation on the theme for the year. But also in between, we will also be just having an intentional awareness of the Christian calendar, of some of the events that Christians traditionally, from the early church onwards, have wanted to commemorate and celebrate to remind themselves of the acts of God's grace throughout history. So a little bit on the Christian calendar. What is the Christian calendar? It's a practice of basically Christians who commemorate certain days, certain seasons that happen throughout the year that remind them of God's important acts in the history of salvation. We're not going to be very strict or very legalistic about it, but it's just some way that we want to intentionally renew our minds and bring in more of an awareness of what God is doing in our lives throughout the year. So instead of us living just being carried by the secular calendar, or by that another year has come and then we are dictated, especially in Singapore, by the school calendar, or by, you know, perhaps it's another year of work, and you know the cycle begins of, you know, getting enough brownie points to make sure that I get my end of year bonus, you know, and living our lives according to the secular rat race. But we want to be conscious, again, aware, intentional as disciples to remember as we come each week on Sunday to worship, to renew our minds. We want to renew our minds and put a shift in our priorities as well. That it reminds us that our true priorities and our values are not based here on earth. It helps us to retune the rhythms of our lives, that actually our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we should be thinking heavenward and not so much being hamsters on the worldly view. So just a little bit of this that we'll be doing. So in the course of the year, at certain events, Easter, Christmas are the main ones. So, you know, actually, we have been kind of, you know, all churches and all Christians do kind of loosely follow the Christian calendar. In the big events, you have like Easter, you have Christmas, and various denominations take it a bit different directions, how much they follow. But generally, it's built around these two seasons. The Easter season, so you have some churches that observe Lent and Good Friday, and then, you know, coming up to Easter. And then the other big season is the Christmas season, which we have Advent, you know, preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Then Christmas, and then it's quite meaningful as well, you know, in events like Epiphany, where you start to think that Christmas is not just something that happens once a year, one and done, one day itself. But actually, the coming of the Lord has so much significance for us as Christians throughout our whole life as well. So the Christian calendar, so it's not a gimmick that I just came up with, you know, it's something that's been observed. Some would say that its origins come right from Genesis chapter 2, where, you know, God, after creating everything, he blessed the 7 day, made it holy, and then eventually it was formalized in the commandment, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, you know, as a day of rest. So Christians, from God's people from the beginning, always been observing, you know, according to God's instruction, to remember, commemorate certain days as days of rest, days set apart, holy to God. And then, of course, when Jesus Christ came in the new covenant, then, you know, the Christians, Jesus became the Lord of the Sabbath. He established this permanent rest. And so now the church commemorates the resurrection on Sunday. And they set that day apart. Instead of the Sabbath, they set it as the Lord's Day, a day of worship, practice that we all still carry on today. And so we all are actually following the Christian calendar in one way or another. It's not legally binding, but it's a meaningful process, an intentional practice of remembrance. So we're all not strangers to that. And so I'll be highlighting certain events throughout the year. For example, Pentecost Sunday, you know, where we remember the work of the Holy Spirit. And throughout the year, then we'll have some special guest speakers that will come in, and then they will share on these to help us to intentionally live our lives throughout the year more heavenward than just being caught in that secular rat race. So all this to say, Christians generally have commemorated, you know, the events of salvation history in the calendar, and you know, all this to say is that Christians have generally found it quite a meaningful practice as well. As Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 encourages us, you know, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And it says in verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And so this verse reminds us that at the end, our use of time here, time is neutral, but our use of time is not neutral. So we want to intentionally, you know, redeem the time, make the most of the time on earth, use it for God. And to be careful not to be carried away, because the days are evil. The world here below, this, the evil forces of this age are always looking to force us into their own patterns. But we want to reclaim the time for God's purpose and not let just time idly slip by. So today, Epiphany Sunday then, a couple of things about it. Epiphany reminds us that Christmas is not just the holiday on December 25th, and then it's over, but that the significance of Christmas to the church, it's not just one day, once a year, and then the rest of the year it's back to status quo. But it reminds us at the start of the year that the good news of Christmas, the message of Christmas, is not just confined to that week, but that the true Christmas lights are not taken down in January. We've taken down all our decorations, our nice decorations in church. But the true Christmas light doesn't come down in January. Because the light of the world has come, he's now present, he's now living. And so Epiphany reminds us, you know, keep shining our light as lights in the world throughout the year. Secondly, you know, Christmas is a time where we give gifts to one another, where we commemorate, you know, giving gifts to one another. We remember that Jesus Christ was God's gift to us at Christmas. You know, very interesting, right? Somebody's birthday, Jesus' birthday, but then he is the one that gives the gifts to us. That's the generosity of God. And at Epiphany, it reminds us as Christians then the other way, then as a response to God's gift, then as we remember the wise men going to bring gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that were fit for the one that they recognized as God and King, gifts that were fit in response to who Jesus is, and gifts that were very precious, very valuable, fit for what they saw Jesus as worth. In the same sense, Epiphany makes us reflect on how we respond to the gift of Christ with our own gifts of our lives. How do we respond to the Christ of Christmas? With gifts that are valuable, gifts that recognize Jesus as God and King, gifts that are in response to who he is. It helps us to reflect and then to take that forward in the coming year. And then finally, Epiphany also reminds us as the start of the year, it's more than just the school year, more than just the new rat race towards that performance bonus, more than just, a new bucket list to tick off. But for the church, it also reminds us that the light of the world, because he has come, you know, it's more than just, as we are going to go into talking about our theme for the year, which is again, salt and light for Jesus. It reminds us that the theme is not just something that, you know, we set and we forget. It's not, let's be creative, let's, you know, have colorful themes each year just to make life a little bit more interesting. But it's rather that being light of the world is at the very core of who we are as Christians, because it's the core of who our Lord and Savior is. It's the reason why he came for. So there's a verse in Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 16, that Matthew uses to sum up the whole ministry of Jesus Christ. And he quotes actually from Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, which is a Christmas passage that we sang over Christmas as well. It's Isaiah chapter 9 is where we get the Christmas passage, "For unto us a child is born." Matthew in his gospel, to sum up the ministry of Jesus, he quotes earlier on, verse 2 in chapter 9 of Isaiah. It says, "The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned." And so as Christ's body on earth now, continuing the ministry on earth, that Christ, when he was here on earth, began light unto the people in darkness. As Christ's representative here in his place right now, Epiphany reminds us of our calling, our constant calling as the church, to be light to people in darkness. And similarly, in our text today in Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine. It serves as our commission still today, which we'll get to a bit later. But firstly then, in living out as light, we know then it's a core calling as Christians, as the church. I want to share, as the council has asked me to share, some of the plans for the year this year. As you know, then our two-year vision for the church began last year. You know, it was to be salt and light for Jesus, and that we are going to continue faithfully this year, and we are going to continue in faith that this is the direction that God has providentially set through the previous pastor and then continuing today. And so, allow me to share some of the plans as we continue to want to live out this vision for the year. And these are some of the things that I've shared with our ministry leaders at Ministry Leaders Retreat. I've had some time since then in November to reflect and articulate it a bit further, and hopefully this will help us to clarify our direction and to remember and be able to repeat to others what is the plan. And so in fine-tuning this, you know, perhaps it's helpful for us to be able to see this overview of what we are doing by looking, as usual, you know, with our organizations, at our vision, mission, and values for the year coming forward. So what is the vision? Vision is that ideal end that we all aspire to as a church. So the end that we aspire to, we aspire to be a church that is salt and light for Jesus. And then the mission deals with then, it's the specific actions then that we will be doing in order to achieve that end vision, becoming a church that is like salt and light. Which I will outline for us. I call it the BOLD path, B-O-L-D. So it's an acronym. O-L-D is outreach, life, devotion. And then the values then is the third thing. Values has to do with the underlying principles that will guide us as we, in how we then carry out these actions. What culture is the church known? And this will be the theme for our opening sermon series over the next 3 weeks in January. We'll take you through each of these values. So FAR, Family, Army, Refuge, this was something, the values that actually Pastor Richard shared when he first implemented the vision for 2 years to be salt and light. If we want to be salt and light for Jesus, then these are the values that will have to guide us to be a family, to be an army, to be a refuge. And so this year we will be taking it forward with these things. And normally then we know we come at the start of the year, I know it's a tradition in praise that when we come on the first week, then we will then say the church covenant pledge together. And then we have our ministry leaders dedication. So this year, we're going to be a little bit different. So after that sermon series, for this week and throughout January, the next 3 weeks, taking us through the direction that we're going this year in the church, the values that we want to have. And then on the first week of February, then we'll come. The aim is so that then we can offer up our covenant pledge, our dedication, as a meaningful response, with some understanding then, yes, Lord, this is where we see that you are taking us, and this is where we want to be. So this is what we'll be doing. So allow me to take you through just briefly the plans. So firstly, the vision. This is about the ideal end outcome, who we want to be. And of course, won't have to go too much into it. We already know this. This is to be salt and light for Jesus. I just want to simply say that to be salt and light for Jesus, as we looked at, as Epiphany reminds us, as our verses remind us, the word reminds us, it's not just simply a cute slogan that we have for 2 years, and then we just write it out, we tahan this, and then 2 years later, on midnight on January first 2027, then see ya, you know, wouldn't want to be here. No. In the end, the vision is an expression of our intention of what we want to be going forward, the church that we want to be. It's our aspiration together, us together saying, God, we want going forward to be a church that's being salt and light. It's part of our second nature. You know, we don't want to just be a church that exists to be inward looking. You know, God, we believe that you have called every one of us to be salt and light. And so then we will covenant together as a church to take steps towards growing in that direction as a church. So then that means that the vision for this year is not we set and then forget and then we move on to a new thing, but it's a thing that we want to be and we build on year by year by year. You know, and of course, this is something that the word of God tells us to do. In 2 Peter, for example, it tells us that add to your faith, you know, virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness, love, etc., etc. In other words, you know, we want to grow up as a church into our faith. And so vision is about it's about the ideal aspiration. It's also about corporate discipleship that together we add to our faith year on year on year and we grow in each and every aspect into a healthy and mature church that God wants us to be. Secondly, the mission then is the specific steps that we will take. So the vision is about who we want to be. The mission is about what we will do that will help us to move in steps towards that vision. So Jeremiah 6 verse 16, there is a verse that the Lord says, you know, look for the old paths and then walk in it. You'll find the good way, the old paths, going back to the essentials. And so to help us to refer back to the essentials, the what that we will be doing, and also to give us the why we will be doing these things. Perhaps I will design this, you know, print it out, and paste it up in the church so you can refer to it throughout the year. Maybe we have some like creative ones like Emmy or Chloe to design something and paste it. yeah, but anyway, it's about the things that we will do. So the what and also the why. And so I've honed down what I've shared with the leaders at retreat into a bit more of a hopefully memorable form, easy to remember. And it's firstly, the things that we will do, the what is the acronym OLD. So thinking about the old paths, we will have community outreach, community life, and community devotion. These are the what, the things that we will do. And then in each one, there is the why we are doing it. And so if we will remember the goal of what we are doing, why we are doing it, and not get carried away into other goals. And so for community outreach, it's all of these start with B. It's about blessing people. For community life, it's about creating a community where people belong. You know, where others come in and they find a community, they experience community and belong, and then realize that, hey, actually I belong part of a church and then I want to believe. And then with community devotion, then that's the part where we look into ourselves. It's about being like first before we can be like out there. So I'll elaborate on these things. But basically then, the what that we do, O-L-D, and then each one, the why we are doing it all starts with B. And so that's why we take the bold path towards becoming salt and light for Jesus this year. So let me just go a little bit into this bold path, the OLD. Firstly, we have community outreach, and the why is about blessing. So it's all about blessing, blessing, blessing. The focus is on good works and on bringing Christ into the community outside of the church. It's about touching lives and meeting people where they are. Just outside the church, whether it's the community that's near to us or whether it's near socially in our friends, in our family, but basically the community outside. So in each of these things that we're doing, again, you know, we're still focusing on community, 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 people, people, people. But this one, the focus is on good works to people, touching lives, meeting them where they are. And the why to keep in the fore of our minds is blessing. What that means is that it's not a results-based thing that, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to give this much things to people, and then we hope that we get back as many investment of people coming into the church. No, simply being part of being salt and light into this world, that we have been called as Christians to not be wary in doing good works to whoever, to even those outside of the family of faith. And so the aim is about blessing others, and it's obedience to ourselves, of course. And so some of the, these are the three main activities, and you know, some of the dates to mark out. Firstly, in community outreach, we have what we call the community blessing walks. And so this is sort of like a rebranding from last year. You know, we had community pastoring. Just a little bit of rebranding, hopefully, to help us again clarify the why. Why are we going out there? You know, is it going out there to, and then we get disappointed when we somehow are not able to pull a couple of people out of the doors and into the church immediately. It's simply about blessing them. The people in darkness have now seen a light, you know, so just bringing up that light out to them. So it's not about results necessarily. The result, if we need a result, the result is that God is pleased with our obedience. The result is that people are being touched by the love of Christ, by the light of Jesus Christ. And the result is also our church being discipled to how are we going to be the church? Then secondly, the other strategy then under the things that we'll be doing is what we call touch point occasions. So then this is where we begin to think more concentratedly about how we touch them with the love of Jesus Christ. The reason why I don't say events, because it's not necessarily events, you know, just occasions we touch people with the love of Christ. Like an example was then the caroling in the community. You know, not a big event with like food stalls, you know, the serving the food again, a lot of organization, but simple occasions for us where we can then touch people. It might even be small things like going into a home, a nursing home, and singing carols at the bedside of someone, or just going to, you know, yeah, one of the orphanages and distributing gifts to needy kids, you know, who don't have parents, who don't experience Christmas, things like that. So touch point occasions gives us a little bit of creativity in what we want to do. The important thing again is the why we do it is to bless people. So these will be things like Chinese New Year, mid-autumn, and Christmas. Chinese New Year, I think the plan would be actually happening on the Sunday, February the 8th, although I put here Saturday 7th, but the latest update is that it will likely be on the Sunday after the service. We have a calligraphy instructor graciously coming in to do a lesson on Chinese calligraphy. So you can mark that date out and can invite friends already, family members. And of course, then very soon, you know, at the start of February, we'll be going out for our first community blessing walk, again, to give oranges to the residents, just to bless them with the love of Jesus Christ during Chinese New Year. And then lastly, of course, then we have our evangelistic services, which are Christmas and Easter. You know, these are Lord's Day services, so, you know, I won't put too much emphasis on this. Opportunities for us to invite people into the church. Then the next thing that we do is community life. The why is about belonging. And so then the focus here is the things that we have been doing to build the bonds between members. But as we build the bonds between members, you know, at the same time, these have been very precious opportunities that have allowed us to create opportunities for others to come in and experience what it's like to have community with the church. So these are some of the things that actually we have already been doing. So you just want to keep these things going, keep these things in our minds and develop it intentionally so that people who come, you know, they find a place that they can belong, they experience the benefits of Christian community first, you know, because at the start, it's tough, you know, first for them, for people from darkness come in straightway, to understand what is the body, what is the blood, what are things like propitiation, you know, the word that even Brother Colin, like, you know, we still struggle with today, propitiation. So, you know, we don't expect people to come in new and like, oh man, propitiation sounds good, I want to be a Christian, sign me up. We want to allow opportunities for them to come in, experience what it is, what Jesus Christ means to us, what the love of Christ means to us, what is fellowship that we have now in this body. And as they begin to experience, you know, then they begin to feel a part of this community, and slowly then they realize, hey, actually, I'm already a part. Actually, I'm starting to believe the things that I've been seeing, that I've been experiencing, and then I want to believe. So it's about creating that atmosphere where people belong. So these will be things throughout the year, like the church retreat, which again, you know, were wonderful opportunities. There were opportunities where we had people like, you know, Robert that joined us, you know, Louise Robert. And then from there, you know, that was where the seeds planted. We were so thankful last year to have people like Alan and May join us as well. And then this will also be things like our Sunday bonding activities, like, you know, the soccer, which we had some of our youth from outside join us. The badminton, we had, you know, young adults outside join us as well. The pickleball, which, you know, recently we had some like friends, relatives join as well. And then, of course, the third thing would be like things like the ladies and men's fellowships. You know, some of these activities already have been happening organically, you know, ad hoc basis. Then for other things, there are plans in the works. Of course, yeah, men, we have to admit, you know, we always trail behind a little bit with the ladies. But there are plans in the works, you know. So at the moment, while everything is relatively organic, you know, quite ad hoc at this stage, we're not going to like straight away scrap everything, tear down and rebuild purposely, you know. But some things that are going organically, you know, we keep it going. We'll think intentionally about how we can then develop. So it's just like, you know, we are starting this new year, new diet, new year, new exercise regime. So, you know, we're starting to just build our muscles, you know. So we must hone our diet slowly, you know, we must adjust and adapt together, you know, for sustainable gains. Yeah, so we will build brick by brick. And then the last thing that we'll be doing is to do with community devotion. And this, the why of it is the being then. So this is a little bit of a new thing that I'm sharing, you know. So the why on being, it's the focus then is then as we are thinking about doing, that we're not just caught up in the doing, but that we also focus that part of our doing is to not neglect our spiritual priorities and to cultivate our devotion. Because we want to be a people that are fervent for God, we're always ready to give them a reason to believe. So as we go out, you know, as we bless people, as we create these opportunities of fellowship, of activities, of bonding, belonging, then we cultivate in ourselves so that we are always ready then, at the moment then, when there's an opportunity to then share. Why do you believe? Then all these people that we've been bonding with, that we've been blessing, then we're ready to give a reason and answer why we believe. We want to be a people that are ready to tell others, why is Jesus worthy of all our praise? This is the something that I wrote on the website as well, you know, why Jesus is worthy of all our praise. I'm giving you guys another tool as well, a simple handle to tell people the what and the why about our church. So, you know, some people have asked before, what is praise about? Why are you all called praise? You know, and is it because, you know, how can you be called like that? Praise the church. So give them a grammar lesson. Give them a lesson in the what and the why. Tell them that, you know, it's about Jesus. We're a church that exists to praise Jesus. And so then we need to build in ourselves that we are always ready with the reason. I always have the reason to tell you why Jesus is worthy of all praise. You know, come to our church. Come to praise. We will show you why Jesus is worthy of all our praise. Okay, so for devotion then, the things that we'll be doing, all P, The key strategy track, of course, will be the pulpit series, and then supported by the PCF, by prayer, and by personal mentoring. So the pulpit calendar will reflect, of course, this vision, our desire to become a church that is salt and light for Jesus. So first, we will start off with that series going further, the 3 weeks in January. And then after that, you know, we will take our covenant pledge, our ministry leaders dedication together. We will look at the values we want to cultivate as a church. And for one of these weeks or so, we have a special guest speaker that will be sharing one of the values. So it's about community devotion together. We prayerfully look at the direction that God has given us, the values that He wants us to be, and then prayerfully together we answer the call, we approach the covenant and the dedication. It's a meaningful response with understanding. And then throughout the year, to help us have that biblical foundations of why we are salt, why we are light, then the book series that we will be looking at throughout the year will be in Genesis, you know, building on foundations, in 1 Peter, to build our foundations on the word. And then, of course, as I said, in between, we'll highlight certain key events in the Christian calendar. And so we'll have invited guest speakers who will give us a fresh perspective on some of these themes. And then so that we align together on the same page, we want to move together, then the PCFs, you know, we hope that we will encourage the PCFs to follow along with the sermon series and to reflect each week, you know, on what has been shared in the Word. And I'll strive to get some material out for the leaders as well. It's what we have been doing with actually with the young generation and with our young adults as well. You know, we're reflecting on the sermons week to week. This is something that we hope we can do together as a church. And also for some like learning together as a church. You know, this is something that I think seemed to be like quite brought a lot of excitement at leaders retreat. Was things like, you know, combined sessions together as a PCF, coming together for, you know, we used to have like Christian education, but maybe something a little bit simple. Coming together for short sessions of, you know, pastor's chat, ask the pastor anything. Maybe some of you are dying for that. As a way for us to like get to know one another, as I've heard some of your heart's desire. So, you know, a time for us where you can ask me questions, where we can then discuss also a simple topic to do with our faith, and then break out to our PCFs. This would take some coordination, of course. You have to look at the calendar and all. But yes, something that's out there, open to it. And then, of course, then we'll back these things up, support the PCF by personal mentoring sessions, you know, one-on-one sessions with like some of the young adults. I'll be like, speak with you all soon. We've been meeting up already. And also meeting up with perhaps some of the future leaders as well. And then, of course, creating opportunities for shadowing as well. So then, like, you know, taking some of our future leaders along to shadow us in doing things like caroling and stuff. So next time, someone will be probably doing solo. Right? Yes, by faith. And then, of course, then also we will always be looking at ways to strengthen ourselves and refresh ourselves in corporate prayer in the church. So that's vision, who we want to be, the mission, the things that we'll be doing. I'll print it up, I'll put it around the church. And then finally, the values, the underlying values. This is to do with how we will be carrying out the things that we are doing. And so I'll just touch briefly on values because we will be covering this over the next 3 weeks. So these are the principles that guide us, how we do what we do. It shapes the culture of the church. You know, who is this salt and light church? Uniquely, who is praise? Because every church and every Christian is commissioned. We're all called to be salt and light. But who is praise? What will our culture be at the church that we can tell people, hey, come to my church, this is the thing. And when we see someone perhaps that is, you know, struggling with something, and we can say that, like, hey, you know what, come here, this is what our church is about. It tells us, it guides us in how we will uniquely play our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. As opposed to all these other churches around, we know the reality. There are many churches in this building, there are many churches in this community. There are many churches in Singapore. You throw a stone, you'll hit somebody that's going to one of the churches. So then, how do we uniquely fulfill our part in the Great Commission? Why should people come to praise? This is the thing that we want to discover together. Our values, our culture. Who would come here? Why would they come here? These will help to answer the question. And so we are saying that these values that underline what we do so that we become salt and light, this will be the trust over the next 3 weeks. And just to briefly then, okay, before we move on to the word, the reflection, just to summarize how do the values fit into the mission, what we are doing in the most general sense, and I'll repeat this again during the series, going further means for us to grow up as Christians into maturity. So firstly, being a blessing, it means to be going further than ourselves to be a family. It means seeing beyond simply God has blessed us to now seeing God has blessed us to be a blessing. That's the value. The second value, it means what it means to be a refuge. It means growing up in maturity in love. So it means going beyond the verse that we saw just now in 1 John 4. He first loved us, but growing up and going beyond that to we love now because he first loved us. So creating a culture of belonging. And then finally, being an army. It means giving ourselves over more and more to God's purpose. It means growing up beyond it is I that liveth, to growing up to it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So this is just an intro to the series over the next couple of weeks. I'll delve into this again for those of you who are taking notes. But now coming back to the word that we started our scripture reading in Isaiah chapter 60, just a short reflection on this. At the turn of the year, you know, Thanksgiving service was last week, and then Epiphany Sunday this week, it all reminds us not to take the gifts that God has given us for granted. So the word I want to speak to us into praise as we step into this new year is this. God has kept the light on. Now, this picture here is in the shopping center near to my home at Shaw Plaza. I only took one. It's the fun zone that closed down recently. So when they opened, you know, it was full of lights, full of machines, full of activity. And now, the last time that I passed by, I took this picture. Every time I come by to one of these businesses that close, that I think is like, it should thrive. You know, and of course, on the other end of the shopping mall, there's another kids' business also that closed down as well. It's like really sad. It fills my heart with sadness to see these kind of things that happen. And we hear so many reports of like even F&B businesses closing each time. It just saddens me. And they close for various reasons, you know. It's not because the food is bad. It's not because they are not popular. It's not because they are not well-known brands. But you see all kinds of closures getting more common. Big restaurants, small hawkers, young, old, new, established. It seems that no one is safe, you know, and as someone that I've, you know, worked in hospitality before, you know, it's something that I really have like deep respect for people who go into such a tough line, you know, and I feel it's like as if they're still like part of my family like that. You know, you build such camaraderie when you're working in hospitality, and I had a chance to like hear the stories that not everybody goes into these businesses out of choice. You know, you hear so many like sad stories, and so it's tough. It's a tough business, and every time I look at these closures, I think it's so sad. And I think of the recent closure as well. You might have heard the news, the Stomp writer, the one about the Yong Tau Foo, handmade Yong Tau Foo shop in Toa Payoh. And then there's a lot of hoo-ha because the Stomp writer wrote a bit unfairly to criticize this shop. You know, it caused the ATO owner to like cry or so. You know, the shop is closing just this month in January as well. And these sad cases. And you think sometimes, you know, that some of these places, it's just unfair. They don't deserve to close, or they don't deserve to go through these things. And then we look at ourselves, you know, our situation. And as, you know, we were sharing in that Thanksgiving service, and Reverend Cheng reminded us, you know, like, hey, look around. Don't take these things for granted, you know, as pastor who was here before, and now not, telling us, you know, remember what's the difference from back then and now. There's a difference. We have a place. And do not take these things for granted. And we think to ourselves, you know, God has kept the lights on for another year. For some of you who don't know, this phrase, kept the lights on, means, you know, to like keep you surviving. In that sense, God kept the lights on still. But the amazing thing is that we reflect, you know, has God only kept the lights on? But actually, you know, in some ways, you know, God has even expanded the business. We're not just survive, but we are starting to thrive. You know, I'm amazed at some of the feedback that we had for our silly little outreach, you know, the caroling, where the church did a fantastic job, you know. And truthfully, you know, like that all of you, you know, added in, because like my music skills are not good, you know, like it's not Michelin star hawker. You know, very lousy pian-tiao and not really possible, lah, possible, you know. And then, you know, you have the youth and the young adults stepping up, you know. And even just talking about that, youth and young adults, like we have a succession plan. You know, these things are like some of the things that some churches would kill for. Before we came to praise as well, like Laureen and I know personally that, you know, we had to like say very sorry to like some of the churches that were like, you know, were asking also. Everywhere is like looking, everywhere is hoping, even asking whether can we combine things, you know, we meet where they only have like one or two young adults and then some who don't attend. This morning, I'm so grateful to God that we had full attendance in our youth as well. Something that I told them, you know, we don't take it for granted that you guys are here every week. It's not because of me, it's not because of us, you know, it's because of God. Don't take it for granted and that you will discover your calling in life. And we see in so many ways that, you know, God has not just kept the lights on, but God has kept the light on for our church. We look at the word, it says, arise, shine, for the light has come. You know, what light is that? Is he talking about? He's talking about the light of the glory of God in Jesus Christ that has risen upon us, that has come in us. The light that 2 Corinthians 4 tells us is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a modern time where light is everywhere around us. We look today, you know, we flipped on a switch, we came into this room to have service, and everywhere there is light, we take it for granted. It's not coming from the outside here. We wouldn't be able to have such a comfortable service if it wasn't for all the privilege of ready light that's around us all the time. And so then with this privilege that's all ready, we can sometimes take things for granted. You know, this, we lose some of the amazement of having this never-ending artificial light always on demand. You know, you sleep and then you wake up and then you want to turn on the light, you don't have to flick a match or you don't have to, you know, go through hoops. But you just simply press a button, and what's that button? It's coming from your phone, and then you have light that fills the room. You can see everything. You can find out what's the news and all these things from the comfort of your bed. It comes in all shapes and all sizes, in torches, in street lights, in car lights, in lanterns, you know. You press and instantly on your phone, you have light. Then we forget sometimes, we lose that amazement, we forget that people in the old days, in the dark days, you know, when nighttime fell, suddenly it's dangerous, it's dark, you can lose your way. Everybody scrambles to find shelter before it gets dark. Or you could literally be doomed. You know, we barely find ourselves in such kind of case in our modern day cities. Even if you don't bring your phone, you don't bring any lights in Singapore, you know, the streets are all lighted, and we forget. You know, we barely find ourselves in situations like in a dark cave or in a deep, deep forest, you know, where people are in such darkness, where you hold out your hand just a feet away from you and you can't even see anything at all. And that's the scariest thing for some people, that they open their eyes big, you can strain in that darkness and you still don't see anything at all, not even a sheep to make out. And sometimes we lose that sense of the privilege that we have, and we forget today that this is still spiritually the experience of many people who are lost in a world of this kind of deep, deep darkness. Even in our modern world with so much light everywhere, we have the light on tap in our church all the time. It's there for us all the time. We take it for granted. Our Bibles are there and they sit on the shelf. We take the light for granted. But there are so many people around us that are still in deep, deep darkness spiritually, that no matter how much they strain their spiritual eyes to try to open and to focus and to adjust to the darkness, there is no adjustment. There is no making out the shapes at all. There is no seeing the path before them. There's no seeing the hole that they're going to drop into and the doom that they are headed for. And this is the privilege that we hold, not just to not take it for granted that we have this light all the time on tap, but then to not take for granted the ministry and the calling, the high, high, high calling that this God of all the universe came down. And he came, the only one with this ministry. Arise, shine, for the light has come. The people in darkness saw a light, and today that ministry is transferred to us. Do we realize the privilege that we have? Or have we been listening to all these voices in the dark, like the stump writers that criticize us, and then we look and then we say that, oh, we are small, we don't have the resources, our church like this, like that, but we still have the light. God not only kept the lights on, which is what Reverend Cheng was saying, we have a place. God not only kept the lights on of our business, but God kept the light on. That the light of the knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ is in our hands, in our Bibles, it's in our hearts. Living here today, we still have that revelation. We still have that blessing on tap. We still have that same commission. Rise, shine. People in darkness have seen a great light. Will we be part of it? And the thing that I want us to understand as well, you know, when we talk about, when we not experience this kind of like darkness commonly in the modern world, of like the deep darkness of a cave or the deep darkness of olden times, it's during those times of deep darkness where even the smallest candle, can shine the brightest and make the hugest difference. Can be the difference between someone in that darkness taking the next step and falling into a hole and dying forever, or just enough light for him to see and to turn around. So, you know, we compare ourselves to all the privilege of many mega churches in Singapore. We compare ourselves, we look at the light around us, and if we took this like little flame, this candle right here, right now, and we light it here, no difference, I'm already seeing. But to the world still in deep darkness, we arise, shine, not let the light on the hill be hidden. Because that even that small candle makes a huge difference in the deep darkness. So church, this is my exhortation to you. That these are the things, this is the vision we want to be, the church we want to be. Even if it's just a candle in that deep dark night, to one or two people in darkness who can't see the way. These are the things that we want to do. These are the values that we want to have. That we will say proudly, yes, this is who we are. A family, an army, and a refuge, and a candle for God, where God has planted us to be. Not comparing with all the rest. Why should you come to praise? Because of this. Because we are a family, we're an army, we're a refuge, we're a light. We want to rise, we want to shine. God has kept the light on in us. This is what we want to do, proudly. So you've come, you experience. This is why. We'll tell you why. Jesus is worthy of all our praise. So church, it's not a shame. There's no excuse of our size, because the small candle, the weakest flame, makes a difference in the dark night. Nothing to be sneered at. So can you imagine if Isaiah never, he decided, Lord, who am I? And he decided not to speak out this glorious word of hope, that the people in darkness have seen a light. And that light is actually the greatest everlasting light of the world. Though he was cloaked in a humble form as well, Jesus was in a humble form criticized as well. So then why shouldn't we then boldly hold out this light and let him shine? And we say, at Epiphany, when we hear the call, arise, shine, church, would you say, just as the prophet Isaiah said, yes, Lord, here I am, have your way, make me a light for Jesus this year. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for the wonderful privileges that you've given us. Lord, we don't want to take these things for granted. Just as we heard over the last few weeks, at Christmas, at Thanksgiving, we have so many things to thank you for. We are better off than a lot of churches. We have a place, we have a pastor, we have potential. Lord, you've given us this commission, a great, great commission. So help us not to listen to all these other voices that are around us, but to listen to your voice alone, to listen to the voice that commissions us once again today at Epiphany and says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and nations will come to our light. Lord, this is our prayer. We want to respond and say, yes, Lord, here we are. Have your way, Lord. You kept this light on for a reason, Lord. We don't want to leave that light hidden, but we want it to shine. So, Lord, we ask that you make us salt and light. Jesus this year. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.